Hi, I'm Susan Moore, Community Engagement Manager with IIBA.
And I'm Scott Bennett, Manager of Business Analysis with the International Institute of Business Analysis.
And this is Business Analysis Live.
Susan, we had an opportunity to speak at the BBC conference about AI and business analysis. That was way back in May. Things are moving very fast.
Yeah, it's, you know, in some ways that talk is almost out of date at this point. The dance, I think, is the keeper. That's what Fabrizio told me. But the content itself, AI has moved so much in the last year.
Yeah. So our topic today is AI for business analysis. And we've been working with our guests that will be joining us to understand more about AI, and they've done a lot of research. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to Vincent Mirabelli. Welcome, Vince.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Susan. I'm absolutely thrilled to be joining you. I've been on the other side for so long. Now I get to be behind the scenes and
We are on the show.
So this is awesome. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here because I know, listen, we're going to try to contain ourselves to just an AI topic. But really, folks, this conversation could go anywhere today. So stay tuned.
Yes, and we are live. So if you've got questions, please put them in there. We're going to chat a little bit with Vince and then we will get to your questions. So whether you're watching us from YouTube or LinkedIn, put your chat in there and we will follow up those comments and pop them up on the screen.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Okay, I actually want to share the first comment because Rachel knows today this is a hot topic. So hey, Rachel, you got it. It's AI is a hot topic for us business analysis professionals.
Yes, and congrats on your CBAP certification, Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So Vince, you've spent a lot of time doing research on AI for business analysis. You've just put together a report called Getting Started with AI in Requirements Management. Before we get into that, tell us what inspired you to do this research.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the inspiration for the research was actually, it actually, believe it or not, predates ChatGPT, which was that it was that moment that everyone got really excited about AI. AI has existed forever, but ChatGPT, when it launched in, would have been about November of 2022, really captured the attention of the world. And because all of a sudden we had accessible AI, right? AI has existed for years, but it was always this thing sort of that was under the hood. And now all of a sudden it was in the public domain and anybody could use it. So I had started proposing that research and starting to look into it. And, you know, I started with a hypothesis of what are the best like tools, what are the best ways that BAs can use AI? And the more I was talking to folks, it sort of dawned on me that, you know, we're still so early. We're still like in the infancy of accessible AI that it wasn't a matter of, you know, how do they use it? It was, how do you get started? Because there was a level of apprehension, a level of nervousness. People were using it to write silly poems and limericks and, you know, those funny use cases. But how could you actually use it as part of, you know, the work that we do as BAs to augment our skill, to make us better, to make us more efficient and effective and productive, but really just to you know, make us better at what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's an interesting topic because we've got people that are aspiring to do business analysis work. We've got people in the first 2 years of career, people that are veterans, been doing it for a long time. How would AI help those people in their stage of their career? Like, are there some dangers? Are there some really good, strong productivity tools?
Yeah. So there are some great tools, and I'm not going to co-sign any particular tool. I've already talked about ChatGPT, but there's other tools, right? And finding the right tool for you is a step in the process. I would say, and I actually have to credit a good friend and colleague, Christina Lovelock, for pointing this out to me. What she said was, you know, in that early part of your career, you really do need to make mistakes. And so AI, while it can be helpful, it's actually better to do that, you know, let's call it grunt work, so yeah. They can learn what works. And you know, actually, Scott, this was a springboard conversation based on your comment in the research around AI is effectively an intern, right? Like, you can give it, you can ask it to do things, but when it returns the results, you need to check it. And so Tina rightfully pointed out, you know, that's how BAs learn. So I would say if you're in your, you know, your first year, you're still very new, you know, not that you should avoid AI. I don't want to suggest that, but you have learning to do about the tactical, you know, on the ground business analysis function.
Right. Yeah.
Beyond that, I think that's where we start to get into, okay, well, now let's accelerate so that we can do more.
I think that's a really good point, because as Christina was pointing out, if you don't know the basics, the fundamentals, you can't figure out where the problems are when you get these responses.
100%.
Yeah.
So 100%.
It's good.
Right. Yeah. It's like learning a new game or a new sport, right? Like it's the same idea. You need to learn the fundamentals of right now. I'm it might surprise you. I've never learned how to play chess. So I want to learn. I do not expect to be a grandmaster after my first, you know, YouTube video. I need to learn the basics so that I can get better and better and better.
Yeah.
And I think AI is the same thing.
Well, and I think learning about context, like, you've got to be able to know the tools and techniques and understand the context within which to use them. I know that sometimes when we're in webinars and we might be talking about a technique, right? I think we know, because we've been doing business analysis mm-hmm. for a while, there may be a technique, but we might have modified it for the way that we work, the audience that we're communicating with and whatever. And if you don't have an opportunity to kind of find your style, check to see what works within the context of the work that you're doing, right? It's meaningless. It's just, I think I've used, so we know Scott is a carpenter, right? And so the measure of his ability to be a good carpenter is not that he knows how to use a hammer, but that he knows the context within which to use that hammer, and when it's not a hammer, but a mallet. So I think, you know, so I agree with you guys, learning the fundamentals of this and kind of muddling your way through it is really important.
Yeah.
Don't rely on AI to tell you those answers.
100%. One of the things that I wanted to put in the report, but I couldn't. And I think, Scott, you saw an early draft, so you may have caught this slide. But, you know, everyone, when we think of AI, thinks of like Terminator and Skynet, right? It's that doom and gloom. Oh, my God, it's here to take our job. My main thesis in this report is AI is not going to replace business analysts. But a business analyst that knows how to leverage AI will replace a BA that doesn't. So it's not Skynet. I see it as Jarvis from Iron Man. And for those that are joining today, I'm betraying my level of nerdiness and pop culture. But it's Jarvis, right? It's an assistant. I think one of the videos that Fabrizio Laguna produced around interacting with AI while he's out playing tennis, that to me is fascinating, because it speaks to how you can leverage the technology to improve your overall life, not to be able to work better, but just to have a better life. And it becomes that assistant, right? I'm going to turn over things to it. So I envision, you know, I travel a lot for conferences, for keynotes. I envision a world where I can have a conversation with someone like you, where you say, hey, you know, are you going to come to BBC? And I say, yes, I agree to coming. I'll see you there. And my assistant hears that, knows where it is, and while we are wrapping up our conversation, has booked my hotel, booked my flight because it knows my preferences and has a car ready for me so that I can, you know, hit end and say, Jarvis, did you catch all that? Yes, sir. I've made all the arrangements. They'll be in your email box shortly. Thank you, Jarvis. Like that's, we're not there, but that's to me, that to me is the power of AI.
For sure. So we're going to have Rosalind in the comments pop in a link to this report. And let's talk a little bit more about what's in the report. So Vince, give people a sense of what they can get out of this report and how they might use it.
So the one of the things that I really love that drew me to working with working at Infotech Research Group was that the material is very actionable. So there's a little bit of, you know, theory and some conceptual stuff, but for the most part, this is a very actionable blueprint that anyone can download and follow step by step to take you through getting ready to use AI. And you can apply that either as an individual or you can apply it within your organization. It's written specifically for BAs within an organization, but that's not to say that you can't take these same learnings and apply them to yourself. So it takes you through, okay, how do you even know that you are ready as an organization to work with AI? Do you have the right, you know, data structure, data management, data practices in place? Do you have the right governance? Are you prepared for the risks that come with AI? Because it's not all sunshine and rainbows. So there's a bit of an assessment that says, you know, are you ready from an organizational perspective? Once you decide, yeah, I'm ready, now it's like, okay, well, what are the different use cases that we can apply AI too? And in the report, I've actually identified 14. When I wrote it in July of last year, I had identified 14 different use cases. There are probably more now because this technology is moving at a lightning pace. But it was all things around, you know, improving the drafting of requirements, improving our you know, our outputs and our reporting, things like translation, use case creation, test case creation, digital twins was a really interesting potential use case. Not traditional Gen AI, but still, you know, in that space. So there were all these different use cases. Now that can become crippling as well, because we've got all these use cases. Where do I go first? And so there's an additional tool in there that helps you prioritize your use cases based on things like utility, feasibility, urgency, and then cost, well, cost benefit, so that you can actually, you know, it shakes out a list that says, oh, I'm going to get the maximum impact in my organization by starting here and then here and then here. So it prioritizes and ranks them so that you can run that first test, that first pilot, and get comfortable. Because that's the barrier that I think needs to be overcome, is getting comfortable working with the technology so that you can then identify your own use cases and plug that in. So
And what I loved about the report, Vince, is it's not just a white paper of, hey, this is what we've learned, and it's a bunch of theory and a bunch of example. It's actually a guide that helps you through the process of getting some results. So congratulations on that. I think it's really well written.
Thank you. Thank you for you know, being that sounding board for me and letting me use the quote from BBC last year. That was I'm eternally grateful. Had the opportunity to interview a bunch of industry thought leaders that also contributed. I've already mentioned two, Fabrizio and Tina. You know, but there were a number of contributors to AI, to the AI research. So really appreciative of them, really appreciative of both of you for amplifying it, because I think it's a great, I wrote it, I have bias, but I think it's great.
Now, Vince, let's talk a little bit about people can have an opportunity to interact with AI coming up. So there's a big conference. So those of you that don't know, BBC stands for Building Business Capabilities. And what we'll do here is put an image up, and you can see what that is? I just need to find it.
Yeah.
Here we are live. There it is.
There it is.
So Vince, you're running an interesting event during this that people can participate in. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna walk that back a little bit. I would say Danelkis Sarah is running it, and Vanessa Lamb. They are the masterminds behind the. I'm just a guy who's gonna be there. No, so we came up with this idea, and it was actually a bit of a springboard from the research. It was okay. Well, now we've got this guide. Let's get people using it. Let's get people using AI. And so Danelkis asked me if I would be a part of what we're calling BA Playtime. AI Playtime, which is going to be the afternoon of BBC on the Thursday afternoon. We're going to cover things like, you know, what are some of the AI tools? How do you use them? What is the benefit? And I don't want to give away too much. It's definitely going to be a hot session. It is a 3-hour block, though, so I'll caveat that. But it's going to give folks that are in attendance the opportunity to experiment with AI technologies in a safe space where they have access to coaches. Well, we haven't settled the name, but right now we're calling them coaches that will be there to support them in accomplishing a task that without AI, they would never be able to do in a limited time. So we want to show how it augments their own skill. We're going to give them some basic, you know, understanding, basic training. How do you, you know, craft a prompt? How do you engage with the AI? How do you, you know, first use the tools? And then there's going to be a bit of a show and tell Friday morning. So it's a two-part event. Check it out on the site. It is, you know, it's there in three individual blocks. But Thursday afternoon, it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. So there are the details again. It's 15th to 19th of April.
Okay. We've actually got a question. I'm going to pop this up really quickly.
Yes.
I do not believe there is a virtual component to BBC this year. I think it's all in person.
I believe it's all in person. Yep. I believe it's all in person.
Yeah. Yep. So if you're thinking about this conference, come in person. It's also just a great opportunity to meet other business analysis professionals from everywhere. So so you'll learn and you'll network.
You get to meet Susan in person. Susan is presenting there. I won't be there this year, but you'll get to meet both Susan and Vince.
I tried, Vince.
One thing I will say in response to Wendy's question, and so for BBC, it's not, but maybe Wendy, maybe I've been working on something else that is virtual and not ready. Not, it's still in the oven. I haven't. It's not fully baked, but I am working on something that is going to prepare the next generation of BAs. So stay tuned.
Excellent. Stay tuned. Well, and I was going to ask you, like, what's next after this research? Like, so it's been out for a little while. What feedback have you gotten, and where do you think you might go with that next?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the work that I'm doing with Infotech, I'm continuing in the AI space. I recently wrote and published another piece on leveraging generative AI in test automation strategy. So not quite, you know, in the BA space, but tangential to business analysis. And I'm currently working on doing some deeper dives into some of the different platforms, the different tools, and just understanding from a usability as well as technical standpoint, you know, how can we help organizations select the right vendor, the right platform for them? So still learning and engaged in the AI space, but I continue to work on things in the requirements and the business analysis space as well. So I'm kept very busy.
You are busy.
in addition to the course that I just sort of mentioned to Wendy, which is not quite ready, but it is going to be more than AI, because I think there's more to the future of business analysis than just AI, although that's a big piece of it. But I don't know if I can say this. I'm actually working on right now a course for LinkedIn Learning for AI for BAs. That's not the title. I don't know what the title is going to be yet. And even if I did, I wouldn't share it. But look out for that later this year. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, it's ready in time for BBC. But so you're going to have some learning opportunities. You're going to see my face everywhere. And that's either a good thing or a bad thing. So either you're welcome or I'm sorry.
I think it's going to be a good thing. I think you've got a lot to say on this. And because it's changing so fast, even Scott and I have talked about this, who is really an expert these days on this?
None of us.
In this space, right? None of us. So that folks are out there and they are kind of understanding what the current problems are and can put something together that can provide some leadership, I think is just a real benefit. So thank you for doing that.
I mean, my pleasure. I was thrilled to be asked to do it. I think, one of the things that I really is going to be a focus for me this year, and it's time for me to give back. Like, I have benefited so much from my career in business analysis, and now it's like, well, now I'm going to give it back. And I don't know how, I'm that's what I'm trying to figure out and what I'm trying to do. And, it's getting the next generation ready so that, I want to be at the point where, because I remember when I first started speaking at conferences and you would go in, it's like, oh my God, there's a Coop and there's a Angela Wick and Bob and Kevin Brennan. And like all these, they were the celebrities in our space.
Yeah.
And then you become friends with them. And so now it's like not so intimidating, but there's a generation behind us. And so it's now getting them comfortable with, it still amazes me when people are like, oh, I can't believe it's really you. Why? It's just me. So it's about, I'm trying to give back and get the next gen ready so that we continue to raise each other up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think that is such an important point. Sometimes when I talk with different IIBA members, and because I am all about learning about people's stories, and very often I'll hear stories from them that are really interesting, and I'll say, you should share that. You should think about maybe speaking or writing. And they think, oh, I'm just a business analyst. And it's like, but there are stories to be told, and anybody can tell those stories. That's what makes them authentic and genuine. Not that you feel like you've got to have a brand, but that you can simply share the story because somebody else out there feels this way too. So thank you for sharing your stories and your knowledge. I think that makes it really a better community, right? And hopefully encourages 100%. Other folks to do the same, because it's just Vince. He's just sharing some stuff. You can share it too.
Yeah. I mean, who am I? I'm just a guy. Like, there's nothing. I actually talked about this in one of my keynotes. Like, there's nothing special. Now, this, we're going to take this down a very dark road. There's nothing. There's nothing special about me, other than I took the chance and said I want to be upfront. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing special about me. Anybody can do it, and I encourage everybody has something to say. The difference is, are you willing to say it? And are you willing to say it openly? And that's a challenge, because it opens you up to, scorn and ridicule. And, I know that I've in previous roles, there were folks that were like, who do you think you are that you get to travel around and speak at conferences? And like, I'm Vince, yo. But but I also don't feel the need to have a brand. Like, my brand is just me. So, you know, it's just me.
And that's authentic, and it comes across so people can relate to you. And
I hope so. I hope so.
You know, Vince, that was one of the reasons that I reached out to you to say, hey, we're playing around with a new capability here at IIBA. It gave you some early access to something. Now, we can't really divulge all the details about it yet. It will be coming news coming ahead. But I'm a fan of using the Babbot guide in paper. It's just the way I've grown up, the way I use it. I dog ear everything. And then IIBA, we introduced Knowledge Hub. So you can now see it electronically. But we've got some AI coming up that will be announced soon. Just curious, we can't reveal any details, but what were your thoughts on using this new AI capability that we're working on?
So I had a ton of fun interacting with this capability, whatever it may be. I think it's going to be really helpful in eliminating the need for paper. I think it's going to be that being said, if you're my preference when I'm reading books is paper, but you know, I see the Babbok as it's not light reading. It's a tremendous reference, and I think, and a guide. And so I think, this new capability will allow us to drill into the guide to get the help and the support and the knowledge that we need much quicker and much more effectively without flipping through pages to find that highlight that I made. So I was really, I was very, like, it's a very early on tool, I would say, capability, but I was very impressed with what I've seen so far.
Okay. Yeah. That's great to hear. Yeah. So you will hear about this in the coming weeks. It is something that will come out. So as IIBA members, you'll get email updates on it. We'll also have some social media posts. So stay tuned to hear more about that. And maybe I can put this away now.
Yeah. I don't even have a version 3 in paper, in like a hard copy, because I certified on version 2. So I've got my version 2 somewhere here. but I use the PDF copy of version 3 and just, I mean, that does make, because I can just do, you know, control F if I want to try to find something, but I'm still like, nope, not that reference. Nope, 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 nope. So very excited for what's to come.
So this will be exciting. I'm sure we'll be talking in more specifics here at some point as well. So, well, let's see. How do we feel about taking some questions? We have a mixture of questions and comments. I'm just gonna.
Okay.
I'm gonna kind of keep it rolling today. Alrighty.
I'm scared.
So here,
I'm a little scared.
No, never scared. Always
I'm
fun.
I'm just playing.
Okay. So Damien asked, do you think there is any crossover from business analyst roles to prompt engineering? I know that was one of the very first things that was kind of a repercussion of access to AI, which was, we're going to have a new role and it's going to be called prompt engineering. What have you seen or heard about this?
Yeah, so I would say even my own ability to prompt effectively has developed since, you know, since the early days of ChatGPT. I've gotten much better, and it means that the output is much better. I look at it very similar to, you know, the way that we write requirements. When you are vague and broad, you're going to get an answer, but it's not really going to be super helpful. The more context, the more information, and the more detail that you can give or include in your prompt, the better the outcome. And this is one of the things that I'm planning to talk about in the AI course for LinkedIn Learning is, you know, I can give a prompt like, tell me about trends in business analysis, and I'll get a list, but I'm going to get a much more, I'm going to get a much better output if I give detail like, you know, you're a thought leader in the business analysis space. What are some things that you are doing now that others should emulate in the next 5 years or something? Like, I'm going to get much more detail. So do I see a crossover from a BA to a prompt engineer? I foresee less of a reliance on prompt engineer as a role. And I think it's going to become a skill that people learn.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think we're so used to putting in a Google search, which is just half of a sentence or a few words. It's a change in mindset. And if you think about the analogy of, hey, you're going to someone in finance to update a process. And if you just ask them, should I move this here to here?
Mm-hmm.
Their head's going to spin because they don't have the context for it. But you say, you know what? We're working through this challenge. We've got a roadblock in the processes. You give them all that background, say, so with that, we're looking at making it more efficient. Would this help? Well, that context is significantly important. And that's what these AI tools need. You need to give them that context and give them direction in terms of what you're looking for.
I have writing prompts that are paragraphs long.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've had to train my model, and I've used ChatGPT significantly. Lately, I've been using Google Gemini, which I found really helpful, and it's finally available in Canada. Formerly called Bard, now called Gemini, but they're paragraphs long. With I'm very specific, right? So in that sense, it's like a requirement. Now to your point about the process there, Scott, imagine, and this is where digital twins are really interesting. I can actually build a digital twin of a manual physical process or a system and envision it. And then I'm able to move an experiment in a digital space and say, well, if I take this step here and remove it, this is the impact. If I take it and move it here, this is the impact. So, I mean, it's used a lot in like smart cities, but it has application in a business process space as well, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Hopefully we answered that question.
I think we did. And actually, I'm looking in the comments because people are there are some people that haven't heard that phrase, prompt engineering. And so I think they're kind of interested in what that means. I think of very early on, I got a newsletter that was like the daily prompt, and it would just show you different ways that you could prompt AI. Mm-hmm. And what I came to understand really quickly is basically you're interviewing. It's like you're interviewing your ChatGPT or whatever the tool is. And if you think about like that's a skill that we as business analysis professionals should have. If you have a conversation with AI, with ChatGPT, you can, and you get much richer answers when you think that way.
I wish I could share my scripts for my course with you, because that's basically what I suggest is like have a conversation, tell the AI tool what works, what doesn't work, but have a conversation with it. You don't have to, and I still do this because you never know when they're going to gain sentience and remember you, but I still, I still include please and thank you in my prompts.
Really?
You don't have to, but I still, hey, could you please return this for me? Thank you very much. Like, I still do that. Cause you never know, right? Like,
right.
Just in case.
Here's a thought. You know how we have SQL. Structured language. What if AI tools were all of a sudden the UI was changed where it said, provide the context, provide this, provide this, provide this. So instead of a prompt engineer, you've actually got a template. You fill out these things, gives you a much higher quality output. I wonder if anyone's working on that.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. You're basically treating the prompt as an intake with context. The challenge then I see though is does that enable further conversation, or do you just go back and edit your original field, sure. Right? Yeah. But no, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Let's see. All right. Ooh, some of these are kind of long. Let's see if we can. I know. So this is from Anna. AI is obviously it's a great tool in smart hands, which I think is very true. that should be a credential for BA to be able to assess its responses and process the information it's giving. The same thing with prompt engineering. We'd better focus on accurate and incentive requests. And it's again about a wide awareness of this field. So I don't know. I'm not sure how I think this is really kind of a comment on what we've been saying.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But I think that's true. I think let's go back to something that we said a few minutes ago, which is regardless of if you ask great questions, you can still get bad answers. I mean, yes. These tools can give you bad information with a lot of confidence. So there yes. is that whole piece of like check your work, check its work.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, because it can hallucinate as well. It can where it that's makes right. up stuff. Right. So you have to be aware of that. I always say with AI, you know, this is not a, you know, hands off the wheel, like you got this, you are still in control and you need to treat it as such. So, you know, again, you can ask it to do something, but if it returns, and there's been cases where, you know, lawyers have used the output of ChatGPT where it invented legal precedent.
Entire cases.
Yeah. Right.
And case and so history. Like, mm-hmm.
So whose fault is that? It's not the right. AI's fault. It's That's your right. fault. Right?
That's right.
So you got to keep your hands on the wheel. You are ultimately, you are still the one in control.
Let's see. All right. Here's a question for you. I don't know if you can tell us they already want to know when is the course going to be available? I know you said you can't tell, but is there some way that people can be notified?
So, I mean, probably the best way to be notified is just to connect or follow me on LinkedIn, because when it does launch, I will blast that out. You better believe I am going to announce that one loudly. It's not going to be anytime soon because it hasn't been recorded yet. I'll be in California at the end of the month with that one. So I would say spring is probably safe, but the best way to be notified is just, you know, connect with me or follow my account, and you know, I will announce it when it's ready.
Perfect. Yeah, if you check out Vince's LinkedIn profile, he put a post up, I think it was a couple months ago, of him talking to himself 10 yes. years ago. And it is hilarious.
So there's that also.
Yes.
Vince's comedy shorts also are there.
I'm definitely getting a reputation for my promo videos. There's been a few. So I'm already thinking about what my promo video this time is going to be when I'm out there recording. So
you've set a high bar.
I'm raising the bar for myself, and you know, and that's, I think that's a good thing. But yeah, I gotta think of something. I got a couple weeks to think about it.
Let's see. It's probably, listen, we have been getting lots and lots of comments here. So I almost don't want to pull up another one because we are almost at the end of our time. Maybe just this one really quickly. Because this, you know, we talked about the data that's in AI. And I think one thing to think about is diversity of data, right? So there's, and so I think this is what this comment is getting to. So, you know, there's, as somebody else in this chat said, garbage in, garbage out, which I know I have also 100%. Thought about AI. So it's just another one of those things to be aware of if you are using it, is that it's whatever data has been provided to it. It's, so I don't know what you, if you talk about diversity of data.
In the research, I raise it as a risk, but I don't get into the bias and the ethics. I do explore that as part of the LinkedIn learning course, though, because I think it's really important. You need to be ultimately, as the human user, you are accountable for the decisions and the outputs. Whether there is bias in the data intentionally or not, being aware of it at least allows you to correct for it. So because you do want to ensure that you've got representation and that the data is not generating results that are disadvantageous to some demographic, economic, social, whatever the case may be. And if it is, you need to correct, you need to, you know, revise your data, feed and ingest new data so that it's, you know, you can correct that bias. I'm a sucker. I think sometimes I truly believe nobody would do that intentionally, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. And so you need to be aware of it so that you can, at the very least, try to mitigate the effects of bias. People have bias, right? Like it's a natural. So even the person that fed the data that did that data ingestion, they may have introduced their own bias. So again, it's never the tool's fault. It's always always need to trace it back to a person. So, you know, all we can really do is try to mitigate bias in the data. And if we see it, we need to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, I think we are just about at the end of our time today. Thanks everybody, because the comments have been really interesting. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of the questions, but there were tons, and they were even talking amongst themselves. Also,
I see that, yeah.
Yeah. So every time I pop back over, there's new comments. So we want to thank everybody for joining us today. Vince, thank you so much. I'll see you soon in April at BBC. So that will be nice to connect with you.
Yeah, and thank you, Vince, for all the research you've done and your contributions to the community. It's wonderful to see. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you both for having me on. It was a thrill, and I look forward to seeing you both at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, so coming up in just 2 weeks, we've got the importance of being nimble. So we're going to be talking about agility with two guests. We've got Fabricio Laguna and Philippe Hendricks, and we are going to be exploring more of your questions on this topic. So we will see you then. This is the end of our live session, but if you've got questions, you can send us an email at live@iiba.org or leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question at one of our upcoming broadcasts. Join us.